So day six starts like this. And God said, Totse ha'aretz, the land should let out. The land should give forth. Nefesh chaya. It should give out a living being. Lamina, to its kind. What type of living being are we referring to? Behema, animals, varemes, crawlies, v'chaisa, eretz, and wild animals, lamina, to their kinds. Vayihichen, and it was so. So that's what happened at the beginning. If you take note at the wording of the verse, it says the land should let forth these animals. What does this mean exactly? How does a land let forth animals? What does this mean? So I'll just point out right away that Rashi says over here that what's going on is what we've been saying since day one. On day one, everything was created as matter. It just didn't have form. Everything afterwards is all about giving it form to what was already created on day one. So when you're coming to create animals, you don't, where do you go to create animals? You don't take them from something from nothing. It's not something from a deep place called nothingness infinity. You're going to take that from the earth. And you're going to put the earth in a certain form, which is going to be animals. So that's what it means. Look in the verse. It's beautiful. Totse haaretz, the land should give forth animals. Because that's where they come from. Day one, the earth was created. From this earth, today, we're going to give it a form. And Hashem is saying that it should take the form of animals. Now let's continue. Vayatz Elokim, and God made as chayas haaretz, the wild animals, lamina, to their kind. That's a behema lamina, and the animals to their kind. That's called remes adam, anything that crawls on the ground, laminehu, to their kind. Vayar Elokim kitov, and God saw that this was good. Now the verse says, Vayom Elokim, and God said, Na'ase adam, let us make man. Betzalmenu, in our image, in our form, could we say in our image? What exactly does that mean? Who is the we over here? Na'asa adam, let us make man. What's going on over here? Who is the us? Right? Is it not that God is the creator of the world and he created us? Who is the royal we? Na'asa adam, let us make man. So we'll talk about that. But yiradu b'digasa yam, and he should rule over the fish of the sea, over ofer shamayim, over the birds, over abahim, over the animals, over chala aretz, the entire earth, over chala remes, romes, alaretz, and anything that crawls on the ground. So we have over here, and I'm actually going to change my plan. I'm going to stop right here and discuss this because there's too many verses to go through. So let's stop right over here and explain this point, and then we'll move along as the time goes. So we have a verse that says, let us make man. So who is the we? Who is the we should make man? So there's a fascinating Rashi over here. There's many, many. To each thing that I'm going to say today, there's literally another six explanations. So I've picked one, and we're going to go with this one. So Rashi brings a Medrash. And the Medrash says that we're referring to the angels over here. And when it says that we should make man, what it means is that God, Hashem, asked the angels permission if he sort of rationalized to them why he was creating the human being. Now, what does this mean? So it says that the angels were very annoyed. The angels were jealous. The words it uses is that the angels were jealous that Hashem was creating a human being. Now, why were they jealous? The reason is because how did Hashem create the human being? In the image of God. Which means that this lowly being that exists down here on this physical world has an image of God. Even the angels don't have an image of God. That means that form that was given to the human being down here on earth is in the image of God. And the angels were like, what's going on over here? We are up there in the heavenly spheres. And if anybody should have an image of God, it should be us. And you gave it, and you're going to create a lowly human being out of earth. And you're going to give that the image of God. That's simply not fair. That was the angel's complaint. So God, Hashem, rationalized them. And he told them, let us do it. It'll be good. And Hashem said, you know why? Because if I don't create the human being in my image, what's actually going to happen is there's going to be jealousy amongst creation itself. These are the words. It makes almost no sense when you read it at face value. So we have angels that are jealous. What on earth does that mean? If angels that are jealous, you have Hashem explaining to the angels, don't be jealous. I'll explain to you why I'm creating man in my image. Because if I don't, then there's going to be jealousy amongst creation. Creation itself will be jealous. So therefore, I must create man in the image of God, and therefore, there won't be jealousy anymore amongst creation. So obviously, don't need to ask the question, simply, what is going on? Right, what's happening over here? So Baruch Hashem, thank God we were gifted with the Maharal, who we mentioned many times, and he's the one that the go-to address, and he opens up this topic and he says an eye-opening concept. He says like this: when we talk about jealousy, jealousy means when there's a friction between two beings, when there's a clash, that there's me and there's you, and I have something and you don't have something. There's a clash between two things. That's when we have jealousy. And the angels were saying, when it says that they were jealous, it doesn't mean that they had a feeling of jealousy. It means the conceptually, the angels were looking at the plan over here and they were saying, there's friction over here. You've given something lower than us, a higher form than us. And that's a clash. It doesn't make sense according to the structure of the world. That's what it means, jealousy over here. It doesn't mean that they had a feeling of jealousy. It means that they were looking at the structure and the structure has friction. Doesn't make sense. The two things are clashing. Why should it be that this lowly image has such a divine image? How could that be when we ourselves as angels don't have it? So what did God answer? Hashem answered and he said, you know why? You want to know why I made man in the image of God? Because if not, there's going to be friction amongst creation itself. And the answer is, the understanding is like this. Day one, the first verse, we'll keep on coming back to it. God created the heaven and he created the earth. And we explained that there's one type of existence called heaven. There's another type of existence called earth. Completely different things. Physical, spiritual. Completely different things. Without the human being coming into the picture on day six, there's going to be constant friction between two opposites. And there's nobody that's going to merge these two things together. Heaven wants one thing. Earth wants another thing. They're never going to talk to each other. They're never going to come together because how would they? There's heaven and there's earth. There's the material for heaven. There's the material for earth. How are we going to bind together and make peace between heaven and earth? Two completely different existences made out of different material. And what is going to make these two things come together? Why would the sun up there in the heaven want to connect to something down here on the earth? How would these two things happen? How would the angels, how would the heavenly spheres want to connect to down here on this earth? There's going to be a constant friction between the earth pulling one way down, the heavens pulling up. And what is going to bring these two things together? And that's what it means when we say that there would be jealousy amongst creation. It means there would be constant friction between the force of heaven and the force of earth. So God said, here's the plan. The plan is I'm going to make an existence which has in it partly heaven and partly earth. And that being is going to have in it heaven and earth, and therefore everything it does is going to have an effect on heaven and going to have an effect on earth and bring the two together. And he said, I'm going to create this low, I'm going to take his body, I'm going to make it from the lowest possible place. I'm going to give him a soul, I'm going to give him a divine image like me, like God, from the highest possible place. I'm going to put those two things together, and that human being will now have the ability to make peace in the world. When I talk about peace in the world, I mean between peace between the highest point and the lowest point, because we span from the top to the bottom. That means if God would have created us without his divine image, then we wouldn't have the ability to affect things too high, because how are we going to reach that? If God wouldn't have made us with a very lowly body, then we wouldn't have the ability to affect things too far down. So the brilliance over here is that he created us from two opposite points on the spectrum, the highest and the lowest, and he bound us together as one being, which is, it's an unbelievable point. Really, as I'm saying it, I'm getting excited. The human being is so unique that it's not just that we have a body and a soul. We have the highest soul and the lowest body. We were created on the last day of creation. The animals were created before us. The creepy crawlies, the fish, they were all created before us. We were thrown at the end from our body. But where's our soul from? Our soul is in the image of God. So that's from before day one. So we span creation. We span from the top to the bottom, which means that we're the only ones that could have an effect from the top to the bottom. And when we do that correctly, we've made peace and taken away all the friction in creation. Beautiful, beautiful. What's going on is that the angel said that what's going on? Why are you giving the lowest human being the highest soul, the divine image? And God said, because if I don't, there's going to be jealousy in creation itself. There's going to be friction between the two elements that I created. Who's going to put these two together? So I need to make a body from the lowest point, the soul from the highest point, give it a divine image, put them two together. Miraculously, they stayed together. right? No one knows how on earth does the soul stay in the body if they're two opposites, but God constantly says stay together. And now everything we do can have an effect from the top to the bottom. Unbelievable. That's what the Maharal reveals, and that's what's going on in Let Us Make Man. Let Us Make Man means that God was explaining to the angels that man is the solution to the friction in creation. The angels can't affect stuff down here because they don't reach all the way down here. They can have jobs, they have missions to do, but they can't say that they lived in, you know, the physicality that we live in today, and we still study Torah amongst this generation of 2020 or 2021 almost. They can't say that. We could say that. So we are the ones that connect the end of the world to the other corner to all the way to the top. That is point number one that I wanted to share with you. Now, the verse continues, and it says, let us make man, betzalmenu, in our form, kidmusenu, in our image. So, with your permission, I'm not going to explain the concept of the divine image, which is actually the word Salam Elokim. God willing, when the right time comes, we'll hopefully do another series, and we'll maybe continue after the 7 days of creation, and we'll talk about more the image of God, what it means, and we'll talk about the sin of Adam. This is all a whole nother topic. I'm going to put that point aside. I want to focus on another explanation that's brought down in Rabbeinu Bachai. And Rabbeinu Bachai says that when it says that man is made in our image, what it's referring to over here is that man is a many world. Man is a many universe. When it says in our image, it means let us create a many universe called a person. That means that if you take a look at the human being has in it elements of the entire creation from the top to the bottom, like we just explained. And he goes and explains in detail, and it's truly, truly incredible. So bear with me, and the detail over here is unbelievable. He says if you split up the upper worlds till the bottom, you're going to put it in three categories. You're going to have the higher spheres, which we'll call the world of the angels, the high place where the angels live, the chariots, the holy chariots. That's one sphere, the highest place. Then you have the world of the planets, which is the sun, the moon, the seven planets that we know. That's the middle. And then you have this earth down here. So you have the spiritual world of the angels. Then you have the middle world, which is the world of the sun, moon, the other stars, the other planets. And then you have this lowly world all the way down here, this physical world. So you split the world, you split the universe into three. Now take a look at the human body. And this is all I'm quoting to you directly from one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Bachai. So take a look at the human body. We are very clearly split into three, right? There's no question about that. Take a look at the human body. The head is one, till there, till the neck. Then comes this part until our thighs. That's the middle part. And then we have our legs, our feet, which is the third part. So off the bat, you already see that just like that's split into three, the human body is split into three parts. Now let's go ahead and let's match up the three. So the head is the highest point. It's where the brain is. It's where the intellect is. That, of course, represents our connection to the highest world, the world where the angels live, the spiritual world. That's all represented in our mini head, which spans, it's a compression of the entire upper worlds, including all the angels. That's all going on in our head. Then you have the middle part of the body. Now, the middle part of the body, out of it, out of the center, comes our arms. Our arms, we have hands, and then we have 10 fingers on each. Now, if you take a look at that, he says if you count them, you'll see that there's really seven different parts to the hand. If you include the tips, the knuckles, the palm of the hand, then you take the fist, then you go until the elbow, then you go up until the arm, the seven different pieces that he goes through on the arm. And he says those represent the seven planets. So each arm on each side, the seven different pieces, which is referring to the middle level of world, which refers to the seven planets. Then he says an amazing thing. In the middle of the arms is our heart. Now, our heart is hidden, and it's in the middle. But we know that the heart is really what's powering everything in creation. Right? If the heart stops beating, God forbid, everything's over. The arms could only work, our hands, which is what we do stuff with. They only have as much life in them, as much as the heart is pumping blood to them. So he says that the heart refers to the sun, because the sun is what gives, what is the way he says it, is what gives power to all the other seven planets. The sun is the king, right? We spoke about it. The sun is the big light. The sun is the king, and the sun represents the heart in the middle, and it's surrounded with the seven planets, the arms, and that is represented as what you would call the middle level of the universe. Now comes my favorite point. Such beauty to the depths of the Torah. Listen to this. The lower part of the body, the primary, the biggest function that is in the lowest part of the body is the organ that gives us the ability, on the one hand, to reproduce, and on the other hand, that's where all the waste comes out from. That means the lower part of the body does really, if you think about it, two opposite things. It has the ability to create in the most amazing way. We could actually create a new human being. On the other hand, that very same part of the body on the other side is what all the waste of the body comes out through. Listen to this beauty. This represents the lower world. It represents the world that we live in today. Because here is the key. This lower world that we live in, there's two things we could do with it. We could either create the most amazing things in the world, just like we could create a child from that part of the body. We could create the most amazing unifications and rectifications and revelation of godliness in this world. And that is what we would call spiritual creation. Or we could, unfortunately, live down here and basically let everything go to waste. The other side. There's two ways that we could use this world for. This world is the lowest point. Because it's the lowest point, it has two opposite extremes of what could be done with it. On the one hand, it could reproduce. We could plant. Like we spoke about on the other days, we plant down here our trees in the Garden of Eden. We build our world to come down here in this world. That's the most amazing type of child that we're creating. The sages, the Kabbalists talk about it, how when we come back to life as resurrection of the dead, it's going to be almost like our original body gave birth to the new body. How do we do that down here in this world? But we could take that same world and we could make a wreck. We could make a mess. We could basically let everything come out and go to the garbage, flush down. That's what it could be. We could take this world and either use the front or the back. It's an unbelievable concept. You see the beauty of the three levels of universe, the angels, the spiritual worlds, the planets, and then you have this world. The head, holy, spiritual, intellect. The middle part of the body with the arms, the planets, the sun, it's the power that gives to everything. And then you have the bottom part of the body where you have two extremes. It can reproduce or it can go to waste. This world can either be a form of the most amazing children we can give birth to, spiritual children. We could build our world to come with all our good deeds that we do, or we could take the very same thing and just let everything go to waste. Everything could just come out. Everything could just disappear. And at the end of it, there's nothing left. That is the lower world. And like we said, we span both. So we have the ability to flip it to the most highest place, or we can let it go to waste. And that is what it means in our image, that the human being, we don't realize this until we learn these things, but we're walking around and we think we're just, you know, regular people, you know, we're just people. And the truth is, if you learn some of this, and if you go deeper, you'll see even more, that the human being, he spans the universe. Our heads are connected to the upper spheres. Our heart is connected to the sun. Our feet, our reproduction is connected to reproducing in the most spiritual of levels. Every move that we do literally has an effect on every single aspect of the universe. Whether we like it or not, we can't escape it. That's just how God created us. He created us in the world's image, from the top to the bottom. That is who we are. Our ability is to bring it up or to let it go down. So that is point number two that I wanted to make. Now, if you take a look at verse 28, let's continue. It says, "Vayivarech osam Elokim." Take a look carefully at this verse. It says that God blessed them. "Vayom Elohim," and He said to them, "Vayom Elohim Elokim," and God said to them. It repeats the word again. "Vayivarech Elokim blessed them, and Elokim said to them, 'Peru uruvu, you should be fruitful and you should multiply. Umilu es haaretz v'chishri, you should fill up the land and rule over it, conquer it.'" So Rabbeinu Bachai points out over here, again, an amazing thing. He says, how many blessings did we receive in this verse? So I always understood that we received one blessing. The blessing was that we should have the ability to reproduce, that we should be fruitful, and we should multiply. That is the one blessing that we were given in this verse. But take a look at the verse again, and there's a repetition. It says, "Vayivarech osam Elokim," God blessed them. And then it says again, "Vayom Elohem Elokim," God said to them, "Peru uruvu." Rabbeinu Bachai writes that we were just given two blessings. You want to know what the first blessing is? The first blessing is Elohim. Vayivarach Osam. God blessed them, Elohim, with the power of divinity. That is blessing number one. Within those words itself is the blessing. And he explains, and this is really what we spoke about last week, and I'm going to repeat it again briefly. God blessed the human being that he would have the ability to live forever. And he explains, like we mentioned, by nature, the heat of the body and the heat of the atmosphere around the body should cause the person to slowly, slowly, slowly dry out. Constantly, if we let the body do its thing, it's constantly losing liquid, slowly, very subtly drying out. And eventually, the body's going to go to waste. It's going to die. The only thing that could refresh the body and bring some of its wetness, some of its fluid back into the body is when we eat and when we drink. And the food that we eat is what restores the life and the fluid that we're losing just by living. But he says, without this blessing, then the food that we eat does not adequately replace what we're losing. We're always losing more than we're gaining. So we're never fully replacing it. And at this point, God gave them the blessing of divinity. That means he gave them the blessing that the food that they eat should fully replace the life that they're losing as they're living. Which means that every time we eat, we're fully alive to max. It's like we're completely recharging our battery. It's always at 100%. Every time we make a call on our phone and we use it for something, it's constantly recharged the next second. Constantly plugged in. And that is the blessing that we received at this point, that human being would live forever. As we're losing, we eat and we get it back. And it was only after the sin of Adam that the ground was cursed. And now that the ground was cursed, the food that we eat cannot fully replace the life that we're losing as we live, as we die, really. So, therefore, eventually, human beings die. And he says one day, when Mashiach comes, the food will get the power again. And we spoke about the Leviathan fish, which hasn't been tampered with. And when we eat that food, we'll once again have the ability to live forever. But at this point, the first blessing they received was a blessing of Elohim. Vayivarach Osam Elohim. God blessed them with the power of divinity, the power that they could live forever. There was nothing that would make them die. As they're losing life, the food would replace it. Then they got a second blessing. And this blessing is Vayom Elohim Elohim. And God said to them, Peru Uruvu, you should be fruitful and you should be multiplied, that we should have the ability to have children and keep the world going. Now, Ravina Bachai points out a beautiful nuance. It says again the words Elohim. Now, we already know that God is talking. It says, Vayom Elohim, he said to them. Now, who's talking? Of course, God is talking. We know that already. But it says, no, Vayom Elohim Elohim. God said to them, Peru Uruvu, be fruitful and be multiplied. So this is the nuance over here. He says there are two ways that we know that people can have children. When I say two ways, that means two thought processes to why we're doing it. One of them could be a simple physical desire. It's a pleasure. The process is a pleasure. Having children is a pleasure most times. And that is a simple reason why human beings want to have children. They want to reproduce. Hashem was saying to them, don't do it for that reason. It's an okay reason, but that can't be where it's stopping it. Have children because those children will have a new soul, and that new soul will be able to bring more godliness into the world. That is why we want to have children. We want to have children because every child that we bring into the world is another soul, and another soul is another opportunity, like we spoke about, to connect heaven and earth. Every soul that comes into the world, as sages teach us, that Mashiach will come when all the souls have been released into the world. And according to Kabbalistic tradition, all the souls have been released and they're ready on their second or third or fourth round of reincarnation, of coming back. But the bottom line is that every soul has to be released into this world because every soul has a specific mission and a specific unique ability to connect heaven and earth in a most unique way. And that is why we should have children. When we have children, it's because we're bringing into the world another neshama, another soul, together with a body, which means it will be able to bring God's light into the world. Look at the nuance of the verse. Vayom Elohim, this is how you read it. Vayom Elohim Elohim Peru Uruvu. God said to them, be fruitful and be multiplied. Do it for godliness. That's what it means. Don't do it just because. Don't do it just because it's fun. Don't do it just because it's a pleasure. Just because we like it. Vayom Elohim Elohim Haru Uruvu. God said that we should have children. Do it for godliness. Do it because when we have a child, we'll bring some more godliness down here into this world. So that is point number three, that there are two blessings going on over here. Number one is...
question.
Go on.
So if you go back a little bit to Tzelem Elokim, and Hashem created with the angels from the heaven and the earth, man. So he also gave man the ability to reproduce in the form of a mitzvah, but he had to have the ability to do it. So is that also Tzelem Elokim? Because now man is able to produce just like the angels and Hashem produced him.
Good point. It's a good point. That's a good point. You're saying the act of reproducing is a godly act. That means animals also reproduce, but not in the image of God. You're saying the fact that we could bring down another image of God is really an act of Tzelem Elokim in itself. Is that your point?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful, Graham. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. The fact that, absolutely. I heard this from Rav Moshe Shapiro one time. You know, where he explained that, you know, when in the process, without going into detail, we have to realize that not a simple game going on over here to bring a child into the world. We're drawing from the deepest place, like you're saying, we're bringing an image of God through our physical action. So we have this ability to, with our image of God, to bring another image of God into the world. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. So that the first blessing they received was the blessing of divinity, of Elohim, that we will have the ability to live forever. The food will completely replace the life that we're losing. The second point is that we should be fruitful and we should multiply, but we should do it for divine reasons. We should do it with Elohim in mind and not simply for pleasure. That is the third point that I wanted to mention today. Now, if we keep on going in the verses, I'm going to skip a few verses. And if you look at verse 31, the very last verse, it says, Vayar Elohim es kol asha asa. It says we're at the end, we're literally at the end of the 6 days of creation. We made it. And God looked around to everything that he made. Behine tov ma'od. And he said, this is very good. Every other day of creation, you never have the words tov ma'od, that it's very good. You have the words, Vayar Elohim ki tov. God saw that it was good. God saw this was good. He saw the heavens was good. The earth was good. The dry land was good. He saw the fish were good. The animals were good. On the last day of creation, it says he looked at everything. Behine tov ma'od. And it was very good. Ma'od. Very, very good. What does this mean? What is special about this day that it says that this day wasn't just tov, it was tov ma'od. It was very good as opposed to good. What is the meaning of this? So once again, Rabbeinu Bachai to the rescue. And he writes like this. He has many, many explanations. And I'm just going to point out that the word ma'od is actually the same letters as the word Adam. Adam is the same letter. If you move around the letters of ma'od, so man is the ma'od. So that's a topic maybe for a different time, but I'm just pointing that out for now. Rabbeinu Bachai says like this. He says, we know a rule. When you have different parts, different pieces, different individuals, each piece has the ability to do X, Y, Z. When you form a bunch of pieces together in unity, now the sum is always going to be greater than the total of the parts. That means if you create one specific piece that could do something, you create another piece, it could do something, another piece, it could do something else. Each thing is unique. When you put them all together, you don't just come out with now a collection of different pieces. Now you have a new thing. And this new thing is the combination of all the things working together in tandem. And I don't know if, Graham, maybe you heard this. I actually listened to Rabbi Tatz's last shiur he gave on Nefesh HaChaim. And he was talking about it at length in that class. I'm just going to borrow one point that he said over. And the point is that when a human being, I'll get back to the Tov mode in a minute. When a human being is made up of many, many different talents, many different strengths, many different abilities, when each one of them are looked at as a specific talent, it's one thing. As another talent, it's another thing. But when the human being has the ability to combine them all together into one unified existence, he becomes something larger than life. He's not anymore. We don't describe him anymore or her as somebody who could do this and could do that and could do that. We just say they're just an amazing person. because they're not anymore just the sum of the parts. They become something new. When we take all the pieces and we put them together, that if you take a community, when it's in unity, is not just, oh, well, we have a guy over here who's able to, you know, do this, and we have a woman over there who could do that, and we have a kid over there who could do that, and we have this older person who could do that. And when you put them all together, everyone could bring their talents to the table. A community is an entity. It's a new existence. It's not just a sum of the parts. It becomes a new entity called a community. Exactly the same thing happened with the creation of the world. God created on day one a specific point. He created on day two a specific point. Three, another point. Four, another point. Each point he said about it, this point is good. Heaven's good. The earth is good. The fish are good. Each point individually is good. But now we're at the last verse of the 6 days of creation. And now the verse, look at it again. It says, Vayara lakim, and God took a look. As kol asher asa. Now he looked at the whole picture. He's not anymore looking at the pieces. He's looking at the sum. He's looking at the total. He's looking at the unity. We have heaven and we have earth, and we have a human being that's going to combine heaven and earth. And we have the animals who are going to be feeding and eating the grass. And everything is working in tandem, the oceans, the fish, the rivers, the mountains. And now I'm looking at everything. And now I'm not going to say anymore that it's tov. I'm going to say that now it's tov ma'od. This is amazing. It's not just good plus good plus good plus good. Now it's going to turn into a new entity called the universe. And this universe is tov ma'od. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's good. Things always become bigger when the pieces come together in unity. When we take all our strengths and we put them together, we're not just anymore that, oh, we have this person who could do X, Y, Z. We become something bigger. The parts together, when they come unified, they turn into a new thing. They turn into a third thing. And that's the Tov Ma'od at the end and the final verse of creation. And then it says, Vayi'era, Vayivoka, it was evening and it was morning, Yom Hashishi. This was the sixth day. The commentaries point out that the sixth day doesn't say Yom Shishi, it says Yom Hashishi, with like a oomph, with an exclamation point. This is the Friday. This is the day. And the commentaries all say, because this is the day that the human being was created. And that was the purpose of everything. Everything that happened on day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, it was all just a lead up to the day, the great Friday, where the human being is going to be created, where he's going to span heaven and earth and put them all together. So I have another 10 minutes, and I want to share with you a little bit of a, you can call it a summary of the 6 days. Next week we'll talk about Shabbos, God willing. But Rabbeinu Bachai over here at the end, he goes through the 6 days and he explains. Some of it we spoke about, some of it we didn't speak about. He explains why is it that what happened on day one took place on day one. That means whatever happened on day one had to do with the number one. Day two has to do with the number two. Three to do with the number three. Everything that took place on each individual day is not just random. Things were created on day four because they have to do with the number four. The number five because of five. Six because of six. So some of it we spoke about, some of it we didn't speak about. And one of them I don't have a complete comprehension in, but I just want to share it with you as a little bit of a way of wrapping up the 6 days that we spoke about so far. So it says like this. Day one is a day, the number one is unity. One always refers to unity. God is one, Jewish nation are one, the Torah is one. One is the number of unity. There is only one, there's nothing else. And that is, of course, day one of creation, where all that there was in day one of creation was basically God releasing light. Yehi Or, God said there should be light. And this light comes from the most infinite place. It was a place where he revealed to us from his place, which we call nothing, which we call infinity. And that is why the light that was released on day one is on day one, because one is unity, which is God's complete unity, where there's nothing opposing it. And the light that was released on day one comes from the deep place of unity. And that's why the light was created on day one. Now it comes to day two. What did we do on day two? We create a rakia. God made a firmament, which made a separation between heaven and between earth. The number two refers to the first point where one splits into two. Two is the number, like I think we explained this at length, that two is the number where it's the beginning of all discord. Everything splits in the number two. After that, things unravel further. But number two is always the number for something splitting. Two things won't come together unless there's a third thing that will bring them together. But two, these two things won't meet unless we make a triangle out of them. But the two lines in themselves won't meet. And that is the number of discord, of disunity. And that's why on day two, God split the world. He made a firmament to split heaven and split earth. On day one, there was no disunity. Everything was just one. It was just light. That's all there was. It was water. There was light. On day two was the day where he made a separation. And that's why we spoke about that was the day that Gehenna was created. And that was the day where the beginning of all machlokas was rooted in day two. That's why we stay away from starting things on day two more esoterically. And because day two is the number of separation. Now, what about day three? So day three, he says an amazing thing. And this we didn't mention yet. Day three, God sort of settled the world. And he made the world look the way it looks today. Now, the sages teach us, and we know this, that the world is really split. The world that we have it today is split into three elements, three parts. A third of it where people live, where there's a settlement, people live, human activity. The third of it is just desert, mountains, dry land. And a third of it is the ocean. That means one part, the number is third, a third, a third. I don't know if they're going to add up exactly. But the point is that the world that we have today is split up into three points. It's split up into partly where we live, partly desert, where there's nothing, and partly water, where the oceans. Day three is when God created all of this. Look at that. He created it on day three, which means that it's going to have in it the very element of three, which is part one third this, one third that. That means what he created on day three in itself is split up into three, partly for human beings to live in, partly for nobody to live in, and partly for water. And that is day three relating to the number three. What did he create on day four? On day four, he created the lights. He created the sun and the moon and the stars. Now, we spoke about this. The sun and the moon and the stars, everything about them is four. First of all, there's four parts to the day. The day is split into four sections. You have the morning, you have the afternoon, then you have the night, and then you have the from midnight and on until the morning, split into four. You have basically 4 weeks in a month. You have four seasons in the year, which is all to do with the sun and the moon. All this, the seasons, the months, the day and the night, which is in itself is split into two, all have to do with the sun and the moon and the stars. And all this was created on day four. And the very essence of everything that happened on day four is always going to be a number four. And that's why all the things that the sun and the moon create, all are multiples of four because they were created on day four. Now, what about day five? Now, day five, I don't have a good understanding, and I'm just going to say over the words that he says. And he says like this, that on day five, what was created was living beings that can move. Animals. Now, I'm saying the early animals, the birds and the creeper crawlies and the fish. It was the first point in creation where there's movement. Until then, there's nothing that can move. And he splits it into five Hebrew words, which I don't know a good translation for. And he says that there are five different types of movement. So I don't know. I'm not saying a good explanation. I'm not saying any explanation. But he points out that there are five types of movement. And on day five was a day where movement was created, living beings that could move. And there are five categories of movement. And that's why it's created on day five. And now we come to day six. And this is the main point that I want to talk about because today is where we're focusing on day six. He says, day six, the human being was created. Mankind was created on day six. What is that all about? So Rabbeinu Bachai says a beautiful point. He says there are six dimensions that we live in. That means we have north, east, south, and west. And then we have another two, which is up and down. That means that if you take a human being and you ask a human being, where are you? The correct answer is, right, there's many answers to that question, where are you? But a Maharal type of answer would be, I am in the middle of six dimensions. That would be an answer. Sometimes you would call it 12, because if you make the lines, each one will be double. And that's why we have a big number out of 12 tribes, because that's the expansion of the six. But if you ask the human being, where are you situated right now? It says, I'm at a point where there's north, there's east, there's south, there's west, there's my left, my right, you can call it, there's in front of me, there's behind me, and then there's what's on top of me, and there's what's underneath me. And the human being is placed in the middle of six dimensions. And the reason is because that is exactly our job. We need to do is we're in the middle of what's on top of us, what's underneath us, what's on the sides of us, what's in front of us, and what's behind us, and we draw it all together. That is what the human being is. And that is, if I could say, the summary of what we spoke about today. What we spoke about today is that the human being is uniquely positioned to pull all the pieces together. That is why the human being was created on day six. Six refers to the six dimensions of the earth. Up, down, forward, behind, left, right. And those six dimensions, we're going to put the human being in those six. And his job is to draw them all together and bring about a unity out of all of them. We could draw from the dimension on top. We can draw from the dimension underneath. We could draw from our right. We could draw from our left. We could draw from in front, and we can draw from behind. And we are the ones that bring it all together. And that is why it's Yom HaShishi. This is the big day, because God created this piece. He created that piece. He created this dimension. He created that dimension. But what is going to stop the friction from all these pieces? What's going to stop the heavens from pulling up and the earth from pulling down and left from pulling left and right from pulling right? What's going to bring it all together? The human being, uniquely positioned in six dimensions, with a soul from the highest point, with a body from the lowest point. The last thing to be created is the human being. And with these two things together, we could unify the world. We could bring the world, if you could say, on a deeper level, back to day one. Day one started with unity. Day six is we have the full expansion of all the dimensions. But there's a human being in it that could bring all six together and bring everything back to one. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that is why, that's our battle cry. We are the ones that say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What do you mean God is one? There's six dimensions. Things are going in front, things are going behind, things are going up, things are going down. There's the right pole, there's the left pole. We unify it. We bring the, and we say that that piece and that piece and that piece, all of it is one. Everything is godliness. And we take day six, which is the expansion of all the dimensions, and we put it back all the way to day one, where all there was God's infinite light. And that is the position of the Jewish. To summarize what we spoke about. Nasa Adam, the friction of the angels and the world. We spoke about how we are the ones that bring it all together. We spoke about the image that the human being itself is the head, the middle part, the lower part, each uniquely positioned, connected to the highest point, to the middle point. The lowest point is where we could reproduce or we could destroy, and that's what we could do down here in this world. The two blessings that we could live forever and we could reproduce with divine intentions. The concept that when all the pieces came together, it was Tov Ma'od. It wasn't just good, because when everything comes as a unity, then it becomes bigger than the sum of its parts. The concept of each day having to do with what the days were. One is unity. Two is when you split things. Three is the world is split into three. Four is each one of the seasons, the four seasons, the four parts to the day. Day number five is the five parts of movement. And six is the six dimensions. And in the middle of those six dimensions is us. And we are the ones that need to pull everything back together, back to day one. Thank you, and God willing, next week we will talk about Shabbos. It's not a day of creation, it's a day when God rested from creation, but it's absolutely something that is part of the 7 days. So we'll talk about Shabbos next week, and that will be the final one of this series. So thank you, and I'm looking forward to completing next week, next Monday, 7:10.
Thank you.